I know this will come as a surprise, but I have left you the bookshop in my will. Something old, and Hemingway the cat, if he'll have you, is now yours, my dear girl. You always said it was a special place, that there was something magical about all those old books on my dusty shelves. Well, now the magic is all yours, and I leave it gladly in your care. Don't be too alarmed. I know this will pose something of a logistical problem with you living in London, but a dear friend of mine, Henry Blake, and a clever nephew of his have agreed to be on hand should you run into any difficulties, such as interfering old crows like Nora Plunkett. She is best ignored, by the way, but if you have the misfortune to run into her, please be sure to pass on my disregards. I have also left you something I hope will be of interest. It is a memoir of sorts, a fascinating story. It was given to your Nana many years ago. She passed it on to your mother. I would have mentioned it to you sooner, only I'd forgotten all about it until I rediscovered it recently. You know my views on stories choosing the right readers at the right time, and now is not the right time. When you read this letter, it will be. Consider it a project in distraction, if you like. Your Nana had some other things connected to the events related in the memoir, but I can't remember what or where they are. Have a good rummage around, and you'll hopefully find them. So now, my dear, I must say goodbye, and look forward to seeing you on Sunday. I suppose I should leave you with some words of wisdom, but find myself lacking when the moment demands. All I will ask of you is to remember that you can do anything if you believe in yourself. You don't need anybody's permission to live the life you desire, Olivia. You need only the permission of your heart. All my love to you, Pappy. Kiss. P.S. The shop key is enclosed. Olivia had always found goodbyes and endings difficult. But this was the hardest of all. Harder than the wake, or the removal, or the funeral mass she'd endured in the past week. She read the letter again, then once more, her heart aching with grief for the dear grandfather she'd lost, and glowing with pride to know he had entrusted her with his beloved bookshop. With salt tears stinging her wind-reddened cheeks, she took a heavy document from the package. Hundreds of typed pages bound together by a violet ribbon. The title page read, Notes on a Fairy Tale by Francis Griffiths. The thin pages crackling satisfyingly as Olivia flicked through them, the fanned paper blowing against her face like a long sigh released. Her bookbinder's instincts sensed a forgotten story in need of care and attention, her thoughts turning to sheet leather and awls, paper drills, seam stitching and gold embossing, the familiar tools of her trade. Untying the ribbon, she turned the page and read the opening lines. In some ways, my story has many beginnings, but I suppose I should start on the April evening when I arrived in the Yorkshire village of Cottingley. That was when I first met Cousin Elsie, first heard the waterfall, and first became enchanted by the little stream at the bottom of the garden. So much has happened since. So many words and pages written about those summers and the things we saw or didn't, depending on whose version of events you believe. Even now, as I start to put my story into words, I'm not quite sure how it ends. Perhaps that will be for others to decide. For now, all I can do is write it down as I remember it. Olivia's interest was already captured. Cottingley was where her Nana had grown up. With the wind tugging impatiently at the edge of the pages, She read on.